It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy.
So welcome back to Resin Mastery, Explore an iCoat Epoxy. Today we have another interview with one of our fantastic floral preservation artists and beyond who we're going to actually hear about. We have Kerry from Rememberable Resin up in Wisconsin. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So you have a pretty amazing story. And what I love about telling these stories is there's a lot of pain out there at the moment, especially in the job market, especially with people where AI's encroaching on their world. Knowing there's things that you can not only find joy in, but also build a business and provide income in is really important. I also think there's so much work out there. I think as more people understand about live edge, preservations, memorials, keepsakes, coasters, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But we live in America, an absolutely massive market. And I love encouraging others to say, you can do this too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And your story is pretty amazing. So tell us a little bit about Rememberable Resin, how you got started and, you know, the story behind it.
Yeah. So I have my own small little business, Rememberable Resin, based out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I started it in 2023. But how I started it and my backstory is I unexpectedly lost my mom, who is also my best friend. And I had all of her flowers from her celebration of life. And it was just another piece that was hard to let go of. So I was like, how can I keep these forever? And that's how I found out about flower preservation. And so I had no clue before then about flower preservation, resin, nothing. But I just really started digging into homework, researching other wonderful preservation artists and seeing what can I do with these flowers. And it really started just working with my mom's own flowers, getting resin molds, getting the iCoat resin, and starting assembling keepsakes for myself, you know, after preserving and drying the flowers. And it started, my first piece was a memorial keepsake with a picture of my mom and some flowers from her service. And then it turned into making rosaries from the flowers that turned into making rosaries for friends and family. That then it started into receiving referrals from other friends, families, and then their friends and families saying, hey, that was beautiful. Can you make something for me? And it got legs and it ran and it took off and it's still going 100 miles per hour.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you're a woman of faith as well.
Yeah.
And I've always been very faithful and very much lived by the edict of all of this stuff. You didn't get here with it and you're not going to take it with you. You know, people can put anything they want on your casket to remember you, but you're not taking it with you. And one thing we leave behind, it's kind of interesting. When my mother passed away, it was kind of a moment when her house got cleared out and it's like, okay, we're done here. And you think, wow, I get all that stuff, all those little things that you bought. And then me and my brother split up her different little keepsakes and things we wanted to remember her by. But remember her, it's the memories.
Yes.
And I think it's such a wonderful moment to see, especially in the memorial business, it's fantastic celebrating someone's wedding, but remembering someone long term and the love and the value they had to a family, the keepsakes within a preservation piece are phenomenal. Tell us a little bit about how you approach, especially the memorial side of things as well, because I know it's a little different from just how you do wedding stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really how I started and how I still think of things. It's not like the widgets. It's an everlasting keepsake. That's super sentimental. That's what drives me every day, is helping others along the way of possibly their grieving process, and taking special care of something that's so special to them as well. You know, you sit down with these clients and they're in tears. You hear, sorry.
No, it's that this is how important this is. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's very touching to help somebody.
No, look, you know, it's, I'm sitting here, I have a rose that I bought from England that was on my mother's casket, and I brought that over, and I've kept it ever since. It's kind of interesting, when we were talking the other day, I was thinking about the sentimentality around things, and I thought, Ian, you have a rose from 2018 sitting up there. And it's so funny how that became a big part of the memory of my mom, and a big part of the joy I get from seeing it. And I think talking to you about it the other day sort of inspired me to, I may go and get this preserved, colored and preserved, because I'd love it to be something that I could put somewhere other than where it is, and to preserve it in either, you know, a different, whatever shape you pick. They're great mantelpiece items. They in resin, they could go in a bathroom. They could go wherever you want as that memory. My wife still has the picture of her father up from when he passed away a couple of years ago. And you want that, because you don't want to feel that you've just thrown that away, all that time and that love and all those memories away. And you want to keep something that gives you that joy of that relationship going forward.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
I love your passion for this, because it shows how important it actually is to these people, that it's such a special moment in their time.
So, yeah, and it's great, like even making pieces for like the grandkids and everything, even if it's a little memento, it's something, you know, maybe it's just a necklace pendant, but it just is so meaningful. And you hear so many wonderful stories, and that's 100% what Rememberable Resin is about. It's really taking care of people and bringing joy to their lives.
Right. So take us back to when you got started. So you're there, 2023, your mother passed away, you get going with that, and you're digging in really deep into this. Where do you go, like online? Because obviously it's not like, hey, I'm just going to go down to the local Walmart and buy myself a resin kit, right? You know, this is something that's more specialized. And I love what you wrote about what Tim provided, which was all of the tools to get started. So yeah, maybe tell us a little bit how you got introduced to ICO, and also a little bit about the process you took to get to that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really started looking into some of the top preservation artists that are, you know, based in the US and outside, and seeing what do they use, what makes them so successful, you know, in addition to their extremely, you know, talent soul that they have. And it really was the tools that they have, and always at the top was the resin that they use was iCoat. And it's like, okay, they got this down, it's working for them, I'm gonna give it a try, and hopefully it'll work for me as well, you know. But a ton of research, so many wonderful people helped me out along the way. And yeah, there was many times that I would drop a message to iCoat on their website and ask questions. And they probably were super basic, but I wanted to learn so that I could do everything correctly to not ruin pieces, obviously. Nice. And yeah, like instantly Tim would call me or contact me, talk me through the process. Super easy, super friendly. He's always there. The staff is always super helpful. And the resin is just easy. Like, I find it so easy to mix the bubbles, the curing, the color. It brings me happiness to work with it.
And I think a lot of people don't know, which is that not all resins are the same. They may all come from one source plant that does the original, but it's the what makes them all different is all the added elements before they get to a retail piece. And Tim's father was a military chemist. Tim served in the Marine Corps as well as a veteran. A huge heart, especially for anyone who, you know, buys his products. I think he even goes above and beyond with the time and the effort he puts in. But he wants everyone to do it right. Because he's also been on job sites in construction, doing resin work, and everything. And he knows the processes, and he really hates when things go wrong. So he's really passionate about, I want to help you get this done right. And all USA made, it's all food safe. Like any of your preservations that you do, tables, trays, whatever, you can eat directly off. You could put cheeses on it and everything. You're not going to get microplastics. You're not going to get any sort of bacteria out of it because it is a food safe surface. And you can't say that about a lot of the Chinese resins because
there's
no regulation around them. So you don't know what additives and what other things they're putting in into theirs. So, you know, buyer beware out there. So you get started with this and you, you said all of a sudden, like people were, you know, you're doing little things for different folks. Were you doing this in your living room?
Yes, I just started. We have the basement is fully finished. And I was like, I'm just going to take up the island and I'm going to start just putts in there and making my little things. And then when the business kept growing, then it kind of like expanded into the living room. Now I am the kitchen. And then it turned to expanding into the staging areas, now the bedroom. And then it turned into, okay, I got all these bins with sand. And so I'm going to take over the game room. So it took over my entire house. But yes, it all started on a little island with a couple keychain molds. And now we're going to be going into a facility. And it's mind blowing to me in 2 years where it has gone.
So your husband must be a saint. Like,
oh, yes, he is.
It's everywhere. I'm in the bathroom and there's things in here. It's like,
yes. So he finally I think he wants his house back. And so we're moving into a location with just better storage and all around easy use. So yes, he'll be happy to get his house back.
I think you'll probably find the constraints on a lot of businesses a lot of time is space. And we've talked to a few artists who said that they basically knew that this was going to happen and they decided to stop. They're like, this is good enough for me. I only wanted to do a few a week. Now it's all time consuming and they stopped it, which is amazing that, you know, most people who get that gift of a growing business, just roll with it until it expands. Like we talked to one lady over at Blossom and Rhyme. She went from your story to 20 employees. Owning her own building, working in her own building. I mean, it's a fantastic story. And again, for people listening out there, we are not scratching the surface of the potential that there is out there. And I love, Kerry, that you've talked about how Tim and iCoats helped grow the business. And, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to be a partner for you guys. So, one, you can get the things done right. If you have any issues, we're there to support. And also with the knowledge, that shared knowledge within all these artists of exactly how to do things.
Yeah, and absolutely. And if you have the passion and the drive, you will get there. We all start off somewhere. I never would imagine that I would own a building and have an employee. I always dreamed of it, but I thought there's no way. But it really if you want to do it, put your mind to it. There is so much opportunity and potential out there that, like you say, we are just scratching the surface. I love success stories of other girls that I've helped that are now growing too. You can do it. Absolutely.
For sure. Now, obviously there's a learning curve with doing this. As we said, it isn't a just simple, but it's not that difficult. So talk to the audience a little bit about the learning curve. Let's say someone's just starting out. Give us some advice on, okay, you want to do this. How do you get started? What are the most important things you need? And what's the learning curve?
Yeah, absolutely. To get started, before you touch anybody's flowers, I would definitely recommend just plain flowers from the grocery store, drying them, research what are the best drying tools out there, what sand or dry mechanisms work for you, and what gives you the best outcome. In just really doing your homework, there's so many people that are out there that are willing to help you. And for me, I think investing in good tools, it may not be the cheapest, but you'll really be thankful that you invested in good molds, good resin, good, silica sand, things like that. It will make your life a lot easier. You know, once you feel like you have really have gotten this down and you're seeing great results in your own products that you're making, then go ahead and, you know, then you can start taking maybe orders and helping other future clients. A lot of trial and error happens. It still happens sometimes too. But yeah, you just really want to invest in the time to get it right before you go ahead and move on. But yeah, do your homework. There's always people out there to help. I'm always out here to help. I'm a huge about educating people and helping them get started, because I had no clue. Honestly, when I started, I had no clue. It's been through a lot of trial and error, and you're going to be there. You're going to have your ups and downs. Absolutely. But putting the time in is going to give you wonderful results.
Right now, you talked about molds. Have you got like a favorite mold company or a couple of favorite mold companies that you love?
I love working with Zapped. I get a lot of people that want the letters, or Zapped ED or 3D, however you would say it. They're always wonderful, great turnaround time. There are others out there as well that I can't think offhand that I didn't write down. But there's a lot of great mold companies out there. You definitely want to look for molds that have great structure to them, and something that's not too cheap. I hate to say it, but it gives you more miles if you invest in good solid molds along the way. And one tip I would say, when you first get a mold, don't place your flowers in there. It's tempting. Pour some resin first to prevent any dippling in your mold.
Right. Now, that's interesting, because in the same way as all epoxies are not the same, all silicon's not the same as well. There's all different grades of silicon. And I've had the experience with cheap molds, and it tears the silicon off the edges of the molds, and you can't really reuse it because now it's even degraded even more. They don't lay flat, some of the coaster molds. And yeah, quality molds, quality products to house the resin in while it's curing, and you're making the right choices around that, is super, super important. That's great advice.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Invest.
Yeah. I'd also say like a heat gun, because heat warming the resin to the right temperature in the bottles in water, and then, you know, shooting the temperature of them before you mix is super important, because you get less bubbles. There's so many steps that, if done properly, we've got a best practices sheet on our website. It talks you through temperature, how to do things in order, how not to rush. People don't realize you can undermix and you can overmix epoxy.
Yes.
And it's a case of understanding how to mix it. And like you said, that trial and error. Tim always says, don't start with the new Disneyland. Start with something that, if you get it wrong, isn't going to change the world. Don't start with a memorial piece. Start with something that doesn't mean anything. See if you can just do it. Look at what goes right. Look at what goes wrong. Another thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is that, let's say they want to pour something that's 4 inches deep. There's not a lot of epoxies that aren't going to blow up if you mix a 4-inch deep situation. So you either do them in stages, or you're going to have an issue. And there's certain epoxies, like tabletop epoxies, they're not built for that. They're built for 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
And so you go bigger than that, you're going to get issues. So again, knowledge bases, understanding. There's a lot of really great videos out there. There's a lot of great videos on our website that talk to all of this that I think help you not make those mistakes early. So outside of preservation, do you do tables? Do you do trays? Do you do charcuterie boards? What are the things you do? And tell us a little bit more about the rosaries as well.
Yeah, so I currently don't do any like live wall or live tables or anything like that. I wish I did. Nobody has asked yet. So if you want, I'll hook you up because right. I would absolutely love to do it. I just do like the acrylic or resin trays at the moment, but I would love to expand out into that. I see some wonderful pieces that come out from other iCode mastery ladies and just stunning. But yeah, my what I absolutely love to make is rosaries that are your everyday practical rosaries. And in each bead has a piece of flower in them, and it's very tedious, but it's so rewarding. You see the beads, you can hold it up and you see the flower in these tiny beads that are like 8 millimeters. And then it's polishing them. It's doing the metal work to connect everything together. It's figuring out what kind of color placement you want to do. And just polishing it all together. And it's just like, wow, this is a one of a kind piece that you can't get on Amazon or, right. you know, at Target. It is truly a one of a kind piece that it warms my heart thinking about it.
So, and then talk a little bit more about, you mentioned you do trays. But, you know, there's an Amazon handmade section. And I think Amazon have caught on that not everyone wants this mass-produced stuff, that there is a place for handmade items. Talk to us about these trays. How big are they? What's the purpose around the trays?
Yeah, it's really just a standard. I believe it's like 16 by 12 tray. I do all different sorts. I've had memorial trays where they just really want it as a display, or it's a beautiful bridal display. It's pressed and it's put into the resin. It's fully functional. And like you say, you can put your cheese and meat and your glasses on it and it's fine. It's safe. And it's a beautiful display also when you're not using it.
Do you put handles on those things as well, or are they...
Yes, I do put handles on either your gold or silver or whatever the client prefers.
Gotcha. And so for our listeners, we'll get Kerry to send in some pics and we'll put them on our magazine site. It's magazine.icoatproducts.com. And so you can go on there and actually see more of Kerry's work on there as well. So Kerry, do you serve beyond just Wisconsin? Is this just local, or how do you go about? Because I know some people have issues with flowers coming from too far away or issues with that. What's your sort of Sure. scope on where you actually serve?
Sure. Yeah, I started, I actually set up my own website so that I can expand and get visibility out there on the web and Instagram and social media to let brides from all over the U.S. know that I am happy to take their flowers. I'm stationed in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so I get a lot of Midwest brides, Wisconsin, Illinois, those kind of areas around me. But I also have received flowers from various states and also even destination weddings. And I have videos and information about how to go about shipping your flowers and also in a way that's not going to break the bank, because we all know things are not cheap anymore nowadays. And you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting your flowers to me. So I really try to help out the clients understand the process of getting their flowers to me in an accurate time frame and without breaking the bank. I also highly encourage brides that when you're setting up your gift registry, Rememberable Resin offers gift cards that you can put on your registry. So when the time comes, you don't have to worry about it. Somebody has already taken care of it for you.
So much better than a toaster, right?
Or another 100%. Coffee
machine. I think we ended up at our wedding with 3 or 4 toasters. And you think to yourself, it's like something else. Like no one looks at their toaster and goes, honey, remember when we got married? We got that toaster, you know, but so yeah, no, a preservation like this. I think there's something beautiful about it, especially for brides, being able to have the memory of that just beautiful day that they had and the lead up to it. And I think this carries the memory much further forward, because life kicks in and eventually people are like, the drudgery of life, and maybe sometimes the drudgery of marriage, the polish, the honeymoon phase wears off. And so this is a great reminder and a great way to get back. So talk us through this. If someone wants to work with you, Kerry, what are the steps they need to take to actually commission you to actually do work for them?
Yeah. So for me, I have my own website, as stated before, and a client, future client, would go onto my website, and there's
and
an
what is
inquiry.
And what is the website for everyone?
Yes, it's rememberableresin at Square. It's a Square website. So rememberableresin.square. And it's very user-friendly, easy to use. And I just ask for basic information, just who you are, where you live, when's your date, etc. And I respond very quickly to say, first off, am I available for your date? Memorials, I always accept. Obviously, those are unexpected. You can't plan for that. And yeah, I gather a little bit more information from you. What are you looking to achieve? When's the time frame? And then, yeah, if I'm available, we start the conversation of, are you going to be local to drop off? Or maybe a family friend can drop off? Or is this something that does need to be shipped? And then we go through the process of, you know, how to do that. And that's really how we get the conversation started. I'm huge about being transparent along the way in communication. I love sending pictures of their flowers, like, as soon as it's out of the press or the sand. I love taking pictures and sending it to the bride or, you know, the person on the memorial side of it and saying, look how gorgeous this is. I'm not quite ready to make your keepsake yet, but hold tight, is going to be beautiful. And they love it. As long as you're full transparency, you're good. Because it is extremely time consuming, as resin artists know. And for those that don't do resin work, it's very time consuming. And patience is greatly appreciated, but it's so worth it at the end.
Yeah, and communication's everything. I talked to a friend at baseball the other night, and their kids visiting colleges, and the amount of bad communication just in that realm, it's even more important when you've got something that takes time, like a preservation, where there's steps to it. You don't want to have that, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? It's like, look, there's a process here. Flowers don't dry out in a day. It takes time for all of this stuff. So how do you go about setting expectations? Because I think there's a lot of people out there have misconceptions about the process. How do you go about right-sizing those expectations with clients?
Yeah, so a couple different things. So on my website and on Instagram, I provide a fact sheet, you know, the expectations from the changing of your flowers, maybe in size, the color, etc. And also just like the resin facts. Many people don't know that you can only pour little layers at a time for a 3-inch mold. So that's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
And just being transparent where I'm at in the process, when I'll be getting to their order. I provide rough drafts for my brides because I want them to give me their input, and because you get one chance, this is your one shot to get it right for them. So I do want to make it wonderful for them. And I'm a Midwest girl. We just talk, we dialogue, and we work through it. And yeah, I take great pride in every single piece I do. So yeah, I pour a lot of passion in everyone. So it does take time, but I go ahead and give them the expectations of what will happen along this road of making their keepsake.
So I just have a visual of you with your earbuds in, you're working away, and you're chatting to clients all at the same time. You're multitasking.
Oh yes, yes. And even if they stop by, we get caught up in conversation for quite some time.
Right.
But it's wonderful, because then they know what to expect, and I know their expectations, and we're all on the same page and to achieve a wonderful goal of a keepsake that will last forever.
See, and that's what I love about this industry as well, is and this is, I've heard this from so many preservation artists out there, that they love people coming to their shop to actually see the process, and it opens people's eyes to, wow, I'm only paying this much for that when so much goes into it.
Yes. Yeah. I recently added an employee to Rememberable Resin, and she is still just like blown away by the tedious process of everything and how much hard work goes into every piece. So it's funny to see from an outsider really how much work goes into everything.
No, it really is. Oh, okay. Real quick sidebar question. What music are you listening to on a daily basis just to get you through the day?
Well, I'm all about like the Netflix and Peacock.
Oh, you are? You put that on the background. Got it.
Yeah. I have to have my TV on in the background to keep me going. And it's, that's my jam.
Gotcha. Excellent. safety. So, you know, people will ask, okay, but I don't want to get into this because it's dangerous. I don't want to get overwhelmed by the fumes or get some plastic allergy or something. How did you go about the safety side of things? What safety precautions do you use? And I'll preface this with, it's amazing. OSHA, who's the government agency on safety, actually went into Blossom and Rhyme's actually headquarters, where there's 20 of them working, and said they... because of the resins they use for mica, they didn't need the level of protection that they were going to. So they make it optional for their workers. And how do you go about safety?
Yeah. And first and foremost, iCoat is wonderful in that sense. Like you say, it's, you know, what's in the product, it's low fume. It's wonderful. You're not like, oh, getting gassed out of here. Yeah. but yeah, absolutely. You should take your safety measures of wearing, a mask, not just the one at the doctor office, even though that works for some projects, something that is a higher level, because when you're dealing with also, you know, not even the resin, but, you know, the silica sand, you know, it has a dust. You don't necessarily want that going into your lungs also. But eyewear, you're
kind of super important. Yeah.
Yes. And you're a mad scientist. You're mixing things together. And you know, you don't want to be spraying alcohol on something and then using your torch. You know, it's, you really have to think of every step that you're doing and keep yourself safe. Also along the way, and also if you have employees, keeping them safe as well, because you're the educator and you know best. But yeah, you guys give great tips and tools what you should order and what you should be using on a daily basis. You know, the gloves, protecting your work surface, things like that, just to keep yourself safe. Absolutely.
And we make sure on iCoatEpoxy.com, when you go there, we have a link, and all they are is links to an Amazon site where we think these are the best tools. We don't make any money out of it. They are affiliate links, and one of Tim's hearts is around rehoming dogs and cats from people who've passed away, because he's like, you know, too many times he'll hear of someone who's passed away, they've got a dog, no one wants the dog, and they end up putting the dog down. So any money we make from this, and it's not a lot at the moment, we hope it will rise, that we can use that to rehome dogs and cats rather than having them put down when someone passes away. But that's the tools link on our website. Okay, so this is great information. They can come to you at rememberableresin.square, not .square.com, just .square for everyone out there. You've heard the passion in Kerry's voice and how deep she goes into it. And I think we see this from so many people out there. These are amazing gifts that you can pass on to people. Kerry, any sort of, you know, last words or final thoughts for people to take away?
Yeah, you know, pour your passion into it, and you'll have great results. Do what makes you happy, though, too. If you feel like a business is getting too big and you're losing the fun and the passion, slow down. It's okay to take a break and take care of yourself, too, because it's a lot, but it's wonderful. And the people you meet along the way, it's just wonderful. You know, when I see like a bride that I helped now is having a baby, it's just wonderful. But take time for yourself, pour your heart into it, and you'll see the results. And like we talked about, get the right tools, work hard, and reach out to people. There's so many people that are out there to assist you. So really lean on others. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. I have asked a million and I have made mistakes, but you learn from it and it's okay. At the end of the day, it'll all be all right.
Exactly. Well, Kerry, thank you so much for joining us on Resin Mastery, exploring iCode epoxy and the whole world of flower preservation, memorials, rosaries, and more. Every time we do an interview, it just gets more and more. So again, thanks for joining us. And for all of our listeners, until next time, we'll see you again on Resin Mastery.
Thank you.